Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. So we're coming back now. I am switching gears. I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper as of this very moment. Number two of the Triple Dipper, I'm calling it Lawyering Up, Defamation in Politics. I mean, how many of y'all have seen, I mean, I know you all have, negative campaigning? And it's a thing. I mean, if you're in the industry, if you're a consultant, you actually discuss negative campaigning with your clients. And you know, here's what we need to do. We need to take them down a notch. We gotta bring them. If your polls aren't where they need to be, we need to get your name ID up. We need to get your poll numbers up. We need to get his poll numbers down. We need to make sure that she is dragged through the mud. Well, it's such crap. And it gets so tiresome. And, you know, having been the victim of negative advertising before, I can just tell you, there are times when it goes way too far. Having also been the attorney for candidates, I can tell you that I've had to issue cease and desist letters on more than one occasion. And those have to be taken seriously. But listen, the thing that we've got to deal with here is what I would call, you know, that bridge too far, that moment when suddenly it went awry. In a few minutes, we're going to have Congressman Mo Brooks on the air. And by the way, this was not planned. All right. So I got up this morning early. Like, I was sitting there at probably 05 this morning working on the show. And I do what I call my resourcing time. Sometimes I already know where I'm going. I knew today I was going to be dealing with the Second Amendment stuff based on Biden's speech last night. I knew that one. But the Triple Dipper is not always in my head until I get up and begin researching and checking the trends and finding things that I think are important that I can relate back to my audience with. Well, today I only had one of the three, right, until I began going. Well, the other thing that happened early this morning, though, was I began to see some trends in the concept of public figures and defamation cases, Johnny Depp being the most recent, who just won a major public figure defamation case. May wind up having an impact on defamation law as a whole. But I got to thinking, Mike Durant just yesterday said that he was just burnt on this. And I said it yesterday and I'll say it again. If Durant or his people are listening right now, my sincere hope, sir, is that you will stay engaged in the process. I'm not asking you to get out there and do your endorsement like you talked about before or anything like that. What I am saying is this: 23% of the voters in a major statewide race chose you. Don't leave them behind. And all that to say, there are folks who need to see leadership continue regardless of the win. So all that aside, he had his grievances with regards to the negative campaigning that he felt like completely painted him in bad light. Let me tell you something. It is possible. Here's a story that I pulled off of a website out of Iowa. Iowa State Senator wins a $231,000 defamation suit over a campaign ad. Yes, over a campaign ad. Now, you can't always get something done in time for the election to make a difference. You can start with things called cease and desist letters against the media outlet that's airing this particular ad. You can't do much about the media outlet when it came from the campaign because they're supposedly listing the sourcing by which they came up with the claims. But especially if it's run by a PAC, you can go for it. A jury awarded a state senator $231,000 in a defamation suit last week, finding that his opponent and the local Democrat Party had defamed him in a TV ad by saying that he worked for a company that put profit over children's health and damaged his reputation as a salesperson for a what they call the most unethical company in the world, literally damaging his ability to be a pharmaceutical rep on medicines that he didn't even sell. The jury awarded him $31,000 from his opponent and another $200,000 from the Iowa Democrat Party, according to the judgment. He also said to the candidate, this is just last year, by the way, April 2021. He said that this could have national implications. He hoped the jury's decision lays the groundwork for how political ads are seen. He says this is not a Republican or Democrat issue. It's both a party issue. It's about establishing truth and setting up precedent. And he went on to say, they hope that the political lies have financial consequences. Well, there are times when you literally say, all right, they said it. They need to live with it. We're going to point it out. There's other times when it's just crap, and you know it's crap, and they're getting away with crap. Well, Mo Brooks texted me this morning and said, I'd like to come on your show and talk about ads being run against me by Katie Britt. And I said, well, perfect timing, because at 05 this morning, I put together a whole segment on this very thing. So coming up next, right after the break, Congressman Mo Brooks talking about this very thing, defamation in politics. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So we're going right back now into this segment I just told you a minute ago. Number two on the Triple Dipper is called Lawyering Up, Defamation in Politics. Yes, it is possible for political advertising to go way too far in the negative side. There has to be some level of truth in advertising. There has to be the ability for you to discern the fact that it is based in reality. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, also having been the victim of it myself, it is not always seem to be based in reality. You heard Mike Durant's complaints yesterday. Well, just this morning, even though I had already prepared this segment, I get a text from Congressman Mo Brooks says, hey, do you want to talk about this stuff being run about me by Katie Britt's campaign right now? And I said, well, that's a perfect fit for a segment I've already prepared. So, without further ado, candidate for the U.S. Senate, Congressman Mo Brooks, representing the Congressional District 5 in Alabama, is on the phone right now. Congressman, how are you doing today?
Doing pretty well for being a human dartboard.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're in Thunderdome now. Two enter, one leaves. The negative campaigning has definitely ramped up. I mean, for a while there, Durant got to be the target, and now it's all you, brother.
Well, it started out with me, just to be fair.
There you go.
Katie Britt's dishonest attack ads first hit. Then it was Mike Durant. Now it's back to me. So it's a game of Survivor, I guess.
Well, there is that. So with, 3 weeks to go, the latest round. Yeah, there you go. Sorry. With that much time left to go, what's the latest? I mean, what vast dispersions have been thrown upon you at this point?
Well, I have built a reputation as being a staunch tax fighter and a staunch protector of family incomes from government excess. And then lo and behold, knowing that is my strength, the Katie Britt team just brazenly lied in their most recent attack ad, in which they say I support sales taxes, property tax, and income tax increases. And I have never in my life voted to raise sales taxes. I have never in my life publicly or privately supported property tax increases. When they have those referendums, I always vote against them. And then perhaps the worst thing is Katie Britt's team just totally distorts a bill from, about a decade ago that I and five other Republicans from Alabama in the United States House of Representatives, all six of us, voted against because it was a tax increase. And Katie Britt wants to claim that our vote in opposition to a tax increase was, in fact, a vote for a tax increase. That gives you an idea as to how absurd some of these things are.
Well, it is. I can remember my second run for the state Senate. My opponent did a direct mail piece that said that Phil Williams has raised your taxes, and he had so many times on there. I have no idea what that was even about. In fact, I was the person who was the last deciding vote to kill the first iteration of the gas tax, which I guess Katie Britt could say she was on record being the president of the BCA when they were openly supporting the gas tax push after I left office.
Gas tax is Katie Britt's number one signature public policy achievement in her lifetime.
Well, and that's 10 cents on the gallon that we're paying right now at the pump on top of what was already there.
Yep. And it goes up beyond 10 cents over time.
So let me ask you this, Congressman. I mean, there are options. Has your campaign sent a cease and desist letter to any of the outlets that are running those ads?
No, we haven't, because to do that, you have to start hiring lawyers, and you have to devote the time necessary to do it. And I have never done that in the face of all these attack ads. The dishonest ones, what we try to do is rebut. Now, in this particular instance, there's a huge monetary disparity between myself and Katie Britt. That's a good idea. If we had the money and the time to do it, it would be a remedy that is potentially available. But if I was going to spend my resources on lawyers, then I'd have fewer resources for doing the things you have to do to project the issues that you want to project. But this is a pattern and a practice with the brazenly dishonest Katie Britt campaign. As you noted, they did it to Mike Durant. This is their second time to do it to me in a substantive way. And I wish that the laws were better, but you know how it is. You can sue them, but it is really, really hard to get a verdict in favor of a public figure because you have to prove actual malice. So if someone just makes a mistake and says, oops, I misinterpreted that bill, or, oops, I didn't fully understand that vote, well, then you're not entitled to any relief. But in the meantime, you've forked over tens of thousands of dollars in litigation costs.
Well, and there is that. And truthfully, can you get something done? Litigation would be well after the fact because you're literally just days away now from the actual election. So it would be
the case you were talking about in Iowa, what, it took 11 years to get a jury verdict?
It
began in 2011.
I didn't know it took that long, but yeah, it did take a while. I know that. The righteous thing in that case, though, was that the guy who wound up winning was also the guy who won the election. So he was suing the loser, but it was all because it damaged his personal credibility. Well, I don't know if we're ever going to see this totally revisited. New York Times v. Sullivan, Justice Clarence Thomas says that he thinks it's time to actually revisit New York Times v. Sullivan. I don't know if that'll happen or not. But in the meantime, I do think the public is sick of the negative campaigning in general.
Well, part of that is designed to suppress voter turnout. If you'll notice, there was a heavy dose of mailers, anti-Mike Durant and anti-Mo Brooks, in the Tennessee Valley, our home base where we are strongest. And the tactical, strategic reason for that being done by the Katie Britt campaign was just to make everybody sick about the election and not turn out to vote. And that was successful to some degree.
Well, and you've made the accusation, and I wonder if you have anything else to add to it, that you feel like there was some type of a background effort, a behind-the-scenes effort to encourage Democrat crossover. Do you have anything to add to that discussion?
Well, I don't think there's any question but that it happened. That is a major reason why the polls with Mike Durant and myself were pretty much accurate. But with Katie Britt, all of a sudden she got a bump of 5 to 10 points. Where did that come from? Well, in my judgment, it came from folks like, I'll give credit where credit is due, Parker Griffith, renowned Democrat in the Tennessee Valley, who was strongly encouraging Democrats to vote in the Republican primary for Katie Britt. I've also seen emails that have gone out from Democrat operatives encouraging their friends and family members to do the same thing. And this is not new. If you remember Thad Cochran in 2014, he openly was asking for Democrats to vote in the Republican runoff, and that's how he won in a razor-thin margin of 51-49. And Thad Cochran, who was behind him, Mitch McConnell, and that same campaign team that is now backing Katie Britt.
Well, we definitely saw this happen down in Lee County in a state senate race. State Senator Tom Whatley down there lost his election by one vote after all provisional ballots were counted. And yet we also know that local Democrat operatives had encouraged Democrats to cross over. And if even 10 of them crossed over, that swung the vote to go against Whatley.
Yeah, what Republicans need to think of is this. One, if the Democrats are all supporting Katie Britt, and I don't know of a single Democrat anywhere that suggested voting for Mo Brooks, maybe you know one, Phil, but I don't.
I don't, actually.
Okay. If the Democrats are all saying vote for Katie Britt, shouldn't that tell you where her philosophy of government really lies, that she's really not one of us, she's not really a conservative? If the Democrats who have done their homework all want Katie Britt. But second, under no circumstances should we allow the Democrats to determine the Republican nominee, and the best way to make sure that never happens again is to vote Mo Brooks on June 21st.
Well, Congressman, I'll tell you what, I would like to see those emails if you were willing to share those with us. If you have emails that we can begin to publicize, I think that would be worth the discussion and maybe even track down the people who sent the emails and ask them what their intent was and just make that a story. In the meantime,
let me see if I can round them up. Most of them have come to me via texting, and so we're probably looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of 500 to 1,000 texts ago. That's how many texts I've made in the last 10 days trying to raise sufficient funds to combat these dishonest attack ads.
Well, I tell you what, if you can find them, we'll put them out.
All right.
But in the meantime, we appreciate you.
Maybe I can find someone who's listening who can forward them to you, because I'm sure it's not just me that got copies.
That would be huge, too. If somebody wants to forward them to me, we will make sure they get known. But, Congressman, hey, thanks for reaching out to me this morning. And, by the way, you've been a champ. You and Mike Durant both came on the show at the drop of a hat every single time. Katie Britt came on my show one time. I asked her about the gas tax, and she told me she wasn't going to come back. So, you know, I've not endorsed candidates, but I do take issue with refusing to go and address the issues. And thank you for always addressing the issues.
Well, that brings up her ducking the debate, doesn't it?
Well, I reckon so. You know, I guess they're in do no harm mode.
Mike Durant saying he must be hiding something. Now Katie Britt does the exact same thing in just a few weeks' time.
Well, all right, got a few days left. Let's get her done. All right, Congressman,
thanks for your time.
Have
a blessed day. Yes,
sir, you too. All right, Yaffe, go ahead and move that one to a break. We'll come back and wrap up this segment on, you know, defamation in politics, negative campaign ads. And by the way, I am sure that there are Katie Britt supporters listening right now. I have talked to Katie personally. She is welcome to come on my show. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back.